Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Wednesday, the 20th of April, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL, and of course, always on buckmastershow.com. Please check out our website if you get a chance. We're live weekday mornings, 9 to 10, then we re-air at 7 to 8 in the evening. The lineup for today's show includes a lead-off interview with Sean McCluskey. Mr. McCluskey, a Republican candidate for the mayor of the city of Tucson. Then we'll talk about the centennial of the Boy Scouts in Tucson. At the bottom of the hour, a newly appointed member of the President's Board on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition. She's from the University of Arizona. Then we close out the program with a legislative update as lawmakers ended their session at 5:30 this morning up in Phoenix. We'll talk with State Representative Steve Farley, who publishes the weekly newsletter, The Farley Report. We are primarily interview-driven, but we'd love to hear from you if you have a comment or question for Sean McCluskey. The Buckmaster Show live line is 529-3508. Sean, good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Bill. How you been?
Real good. How is the campaign going?
Campaign is going phenomenal. We're out collecting signatures. We're doing walks this weekend. We've been out at the fair. It's going very well.
Tell us about you for our listeners who do not know anything about Sean McCluskey.
Well, I am a property management and real estate company owner. I have two business partners. In 2009, I ran against Richard Fimbres for city council in Ward 5, lost by, I believe, 4% or 2% of the vote, and stayed active in the local and city politics during the last election in 2010. I was the vote no chairman on Prop 400, which 63% of Tucson agreed with me and said, no, the city does not manage their money fiscally responsible. So they voted against it, and thankfully that it failed, saved all of us $40 million. And continued to keep involved in city politics and kept an eye on what was going on down there, and said that we're going in the wrong direction. We have a rubber stamp for a current mayor who just lets the council do whatever they'd like to do, whether it makes financial or responsible sense whatsoever. And we need somebody who's going to stand up and not necessarily scream bloody murder and run through the streets with their hair on fire, but point out the necessary items when the council does something that's not in the citizens' best interest.
So at this point, give us the process. You're out collecting signatures, and so far the other candidate on the Republican side is Ron Asta. But it you do have to turn in petitions. Tell us about that process.
We need roughly 1,100 signatures to be put on the ballot, nominating petitions. So if you collect 1,100 signatures and they don't get challenged, you'd be fine. We're looking at collecting about 1,500. We're well on our way to collecting them. And the max I believe we can collect is just under 2,200.
And the deadline?
Earliest we can turn them in, I believe, is May 2nd. And the absolute drop deadline, I believe, is June 1st or June 2nd.
And the primary is in the end of August?
End of August.
Okay. It's 10 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. You can call Sean McCluskey, ask him a question about his campaign, how he is running things, what some of his views are. 529-3508. Let's talk about the public financing of elections. The legislators decided that next year they will ask voters whether to scrap the public financing of elections for statewide and legislative office. But this does affect Tucson, doesn't it, Sean?
It would affect Tucson eventually. It would take away the clean elections. And it's a matching dollar program that is both at the city and state level. I don't know if they work in conjunction with each other, but I do know that the state and city both have horrendous budgets, and we have a horrible time balancing them each and every year. Well, this would put a little reprieve on that, because I believe, you know, we'll spend quite a bit of money this election cycle with matching funds. I'm not running clean elections. I'm running traditional. So it's, if you'd like to donate to the campaign, go to VoteSean.com and hit the donate button. But basically, it's all of our hard work and efforts will raise our funds for our campaign. There will be no matching funds from the city. The city is in financial straits, and the candidates are taking from the city. It's just additional money we could use elsewhere.
The mail-in election, that will be happening, that will impact you. How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm not a big fan of it. It's there's a lot of loopholes in the process, and we put out a press release to that effect that it's, you know, is invoking Chicago-style politics, and at this point we might as well go into an online system and have multiple logins so that you can have multiple votes at that point. There are many holes in the system. It was rushed through, and it should have probably went to the voters on a ballot.
And it would there would be some places that you could drop off your ballot, but everybody gets a ballot through the mail.
Everyone gets a mail-in ballot, every registered voter.
And you say this just could open the door for fraud.
Well, the way that they have your eligibility to register, you just have to have your buddy stand next to you and attest that you live at that address. It sounds a little vague, if you will. I mean, there needs to be a little more checks and balances in it. You know, it's not a way to run a program, especially for something as precious as your right to vote.
Sean McCluskey is with us, Republican candidate for mayor. Your fellow Republican, Steve Kasachek, launched a petition drive in the waning hours of the legislative session, demanding that lawmakers kind of stay out of city business. What's your take on what Steve's trying to do here?
You know, Aaron, you're dirty laundry in the press like this isn't I'm not in favor of it. However, I do know that the state legislatures in the city are have been at odds for quite some time, and the city wants to have the state not tell them how to run their business, and the state wants to tell the city how to run their business, and it's not rubbing people the right way. Personally, I think that if the city was ran a little better and more efficiently and a lot more effectively and used the money more wisely, we wouldn't have this issue. So it's very simple. This fall, there's a very simple way to fix it. Go to your ballot and vote for a gentleman in Ward 1, vote for Jennifer in Ward 2, Tyler in Ward 3, myself for mayor, and we will then turn the city around and it'll run more efficiently. We'll use the money more effectively. You know, we'll maintain the social programs and services that we have, provided that the funding is there. But it's going to come down to using best practices and also using the money that we have efficiently and wisely. We can't continue to go down the same path that we're going down. It's leading us into, we're going to become Detroit of the desert, and that's unacceptable. The state legislature see this. They stepped in. They did something maybe they should or shouldn't have. You know, that's not my place to say. However, I don't agree with airing it out in the paper like they're doing it.
If this boils down to a race between Democrat Jonathan Rothschild, who will be our guest next week, and yourself, what will the issues be as far as you're concerned?
Well, the issues will be what's public safety, economic recovery, and how we plan on balancing the budget. Those are our three platforms that we've been talking about. Everyone that we walk and knock on doors. Sean, I haven't worked in 6 months. My husband hasn't worked in 19 months. How are we going to bring companies to Tucson? That's the first question I have for everyone. We've called and we've reached out to other companies in the Midwest areas because we want to bring them here. They're going through horrendous weather patterns right now again. They did it in the wintertime. Look outside today, people. It's beautiful. Tucson's a wonderful place to live. We need to promote it. We need to get with Trio and say, what are you doing? What are you doing to attract companies to come to Tucson specifically? I know you're working in the region, but what are you doing for Tucson? Because whatever you're doing is not working, people. We need to revamp that plan, and we need to start promoting Tucson and getting companies to come to Tucson. That's our first and foremost. And then bring in the supply line chain companies along with it, the associated companies, so that we have duplicity almost, but we also allow for other levels of job incomes as well. We have high, and then we have middle, and we have low-income people throughout Tucson. We can employ everyone. That's one way that we're going to restabilize our community. We're sales tax-based. We're driven. We need to make sure that we promote the University of Arizona. We need to help DM in any way, shape we can, because those are our two economic drivers. We'll need to look at our budget again, and we need to look at our budget with a very proactive approach, and we need to look at areas that we can cut spending and reduce spending throughout the city and become more efficient and more effective. And with that, we'll hopefully have enough money left over to go back to public safety and say this is paramount because with a safe community and educated community, we'll have a workforce that will be able to stay here and thrive and strive.
Got about 4 minutes left with Sean McCluskey, Republican candidate for mayor. The city has criticized this joint attorney general and FBI probe of Rio Nuevo. Do we really need the FBI now looking into that as well?
You know, let's be honest. If you take a look at the Star had put up a little peek into the financing and who got paid and how they got paid. If you take a look at that, and it gives you an indication of how much we paid for consulting and other issues, it's a good indication that money was not spent wisely. And if we're using those same practices to run the city, we're going to have bigger issues. FBI is involved, obviously, because there was some criminal mischief. If they need to be there, let them be there. If they don't need to be there, they'll soon quickly get out of the way.
Would you admit that downtown is coming back? There seems to be a lot of energy now in downtown.
Downtown is coming back. It's coming back on private investors. It's not coming on. It's not coming back with any help from the city. The city keeps getting in the way. You have private businesses down there trying to open each and every day. I know there's one restaurant right now that was taking over another restaurant, and same space, had a liquor license, getting hemmed up on a liquor license. 18 city inspections to go through. None of those inspections are scheduled concurrently. We need to take a look at our practices. We need to make them more efficient and more business friendly. In February, the city council talked about an economic recovery plan and economic development and how they were going to try to streamline processes and make them more business friendly and become more business friendly so that we would be eligible to encourage more development and more business. We haven't seen any of those processes. They're still getting in the way. We need to remove those hurdles for the local business owner and let them start to develop and revitalize downtown.
And this modern streetcar, the 3.9 mile run, do you like it?
You know, it's...
Will it stimulate business along the route?
That's going to be hard to say. I would hope that it does. Unfortunately, 3.9 miles of at $43 million a mile, we could have found more efficient ways to use the money. You know, we could have ran buses that exact route several times over with the money that we're spending there.
Connecting the UA to downtown, running from University Medical Center through campus, then downtown ending up on the west side of I-10 of the Santa Cruz
we
River.
Could have ran several express shuttles and done the same for far less.
How do you like the SunTrans system? What would you change about it?
Well, SunTrans kind of interesting. If you look at it, you know, right now we just had the bus fare increase with the city, and that wreaked havoc across the council. And they didn't step back and take a better look, a bigger picture at it. And if they would have, they would have saw that they're leaving money on the table. There's four bus stops out there right now. There's one that's a bench that's owned by a private company. There's one with advertising that's purple and got a cactus on it, owned by a private company, same one as the bench. Then there's the RTA bus stand, and then there's the city bus stand. Well, the only one that has any advertising on it is the privately owned one. Why are there RTA ones and why are there city ones? And there's no advertising on them, but yet we're $225,000 short on our funding for SunTran. If we incorporated advertising like the private company does and makes money on it, what a concept. We can put a little more money back into it. We can advertise on the buses to regenerate fares. The city has a number that's astronomically low. It's like $125,000. There's 220 buses out there. If you get a quarter of them, you'll have plenty of money to pay for it, and you'll raise more than you're looking at. You know, there are different ways that we can generate funds for SunTran and make it more efficient and quit running empty buses across town and curtail some of the funds that we're spending, $30 plus million annually. We can change that. We can streamline it, and we can make that demand on the city less, and it'll become more effective and more efficient. And hopefully at that same time, it'll become more user-friendly for the end rider. And that's what it comes down to. We need to have a local company take a look at it, see where we can cut the costs, see where we can plan the routes, and become more effective and efficient and spend the money in the best way fashion we can.
Sean McCluskey, thank you for being with us. Your website is?
Contact me via email at sean@votesean.com, and the website is votesean.com. Sorry.
And we will see you down the road, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sean.
Have a great day.
You too.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Boy Scout movement came to Tucson 100 years ago this week. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Jim Klein. He is the president of the Otis H. Chittister Scout Museum, located at 1937 East Blackledge Drive in Tucson. Dr. Klein, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. It's 100 years ago today.
It was 100. This is apropos.
Yes.
We are delighted then to be talking Boy Scouts at about 24 minutes past the hour, and this is the Buckmaster Show. How did you get involved with scouting?
When I was a boy, age 8, I joined Pack 60 of the Cub Scouts at Blenman School here in Tucson, and became a Boy Scout Troop 102 also at Blenman School when I turned 11, and have maintained my membership in the Boy Scouts of America ever since, 61 years.
Tell us about the Boy Scouts in Tucson with this rich heritage, a little bit about the Scout Museum. Who was Mr. Chittister?
Well, Otis Chittister, who died 14 years ago at age 94, had 84 and a half years of scouting, continuously registered and active service. And he was a school teacher. He and his wife moved here in 1934, January, because he had what was thought to be tuberculosis. But he lived for another 60 years, so he outlived whatever it was he had. He started the graphic arts department at Tucson High School in September of 1940, and then brought in Harry Goldstein and others to teach photography and printing to go to other high schools, and was quite a school teacher, very much venerated by students, but also was extremely active in Boy Scouts. And from the time that he had been 9 years old in Susquehanna, Pennsylvania, scouting came to Tucson exactly 100 years ago today in response to an editorial in the Arizona Daily Star of April 18, 1911, calling for a Boy Scout program. And so 2 days later, Mr. Steele, who was Harold Steele, was principal of Tucson, of the Tucson High School at the time, organized 7th and 8th grade boys to form a Boy Scout troop. And so he is our founder in Tucson, Harold Steele, after whom the elementary school is named, by the way.
Are Boy Scouts still relevant in this day and age?
I think so, yes.
And why is that?
Well, the principles of scouting, the motto, be prepared, that's applicable no matter what. the idea of respect for other people, of respect for country, of respect for yourself, self-education, self-awareness. These are all as important now as they were when scouting started, even in 1910 in this country.
Are your numbers pretty much holding steady?
Well, no. Both nationally and locally, as is true for almost all organizations, membership is not what it was 25 years ago. We still have a lot of boy members and a lot of adults, but with all the competing activities available, you can't blame kids for choosing soccer or baseball or football or YMCA or church or all the other good organizations available.
Tell us about the museum over on Blackledge, and you've got some activities, right, coming up to
yes.
commemorate what has happened over the last 100 years.
Before he died, Otis Chittister in 1986 organized a scout museum, without his name, by the way. We added his name over his very strong objection, but I told him when I became president in 1992 that his negative vote would not be counted. And I actually said that. But he started we're a nonprofit museum and 501c3 incorporated in Arizona under the Arizona Corporation Commission. We are in his home. He donated his home, that of his wife was deceased before he. And it's 1937 Blackledge. His name is still on the mailbox, just as it was. It's half a block east of Campbell and two blocks south of Fort Lowell, just across the street to the north from the Campbell Plaza Shopping Center.
Is it a neat old home? I mean,
well, we think it is.
When
yeah.
was it built?
He moved there in 1939. The oldest part is thought to date to about either 1932 or 1933.
Great. And you're going to have an open house. Everybody's invited.
Correct.
Tell us about that.
Well, the idea, the actual 100th centennial of scouting in Tucson is today. But we couldn't, today being Wednesday, we couldn't very well have a celebration because no one could be there going to school and so on, and working. So we're having it on Saturday the 30th, 9 to 3. But at 11 o'clock, we're going to have an opening ceremony, and we've invited as many people involved in scouting as possible to say a few words. The council president, council scout executive, old-time scouters, boys, and so on, to say what scouting meant to them and what it means to the present.
1937 East Blackledge is
yes.
the drive, Blackledge Drive in Tucson for the Scout Museum. The open house is April the 30th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. I've only got a few seconds left, but how has scouting changed just in your lifetime? How has it changed over the years?
Well,
has it kept relevant?
Oh, definitely. The National Boy Scout Council constantly has surveys and research projects to try to stay relevant, introducing new merit badges and retiring merit badges that no one's interested in anymore because society has changed.
Dr. Klein, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Congratulations.
Thank
the 100-year anniversary, and we've got it right here on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great day. Thank you, Doctor.
You too. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Coming up on 30 minutes past the hour, this is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Stick around. We've got more to come after this break.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Are you listening?
I'm going to interrupt your thought pattern.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The aborted landing involving Michelle Obama's plane will be investigated by the National Transportation Safety Board. CNN's Kate Baldwin says it appears air traffic control error was a factor when two planes were within 3 miles of each other.
All parties involved say that the First Lady was not in any danger. Actually, officials over here said one aide that was on the plane with her actually had no idea that there was even an incident or any kind of danger at all because it went so smoothly.
A new terror alert system for the U.S. will take effect April 26th. It'll provide people with information on specific threats and replaces the color coding put in place after 9/11. Scientists say they're still trying to figure out what's happening to the environment in the Gulf of Mexico. The oil rig explosion that started the oil spill was 1 year ago today. A report from Realtors out today shows sales of existing homes were up almost 4% last month. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
At Advance Auto Parts, we know you love a car that runs like new. And during our exclusive Castrol Ford Mustang giveaway, you can win one of four new Ford Mustangs. Even if you don't win, you still get great service at Advance. Heck, this thing is a win-win-win-win. Stop by Advance or visit advanceautoparts.com/Mustang to enter and for complete rules. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the 48 contiguous United States and D.C. 18 or older. Sweepstakes expire April 29, 2011. Void where prohibited.
It's human nature to prefer meeting in person, but the nature of work has changed. Colleagues and customers are mobile and global. That's why an easy-to-use collaboration software is a necessity. And that's precisely why people worldwide depend on GoToMeeting by Citrix to hold meetings online, streamlining communication and drastically improving productivity. Make your next meeting a GoToMeeting. Try it free for 45 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of five major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Cunada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
It's coming up on 35 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. And if you haven't heard yet, we have some big news about the future of the Buckmaster Show. You can get all that info at buckmastershow.com. A nutrition expert at the University of Arizona has been appointed to the Science Board of the President's Council on Fitness, which promotes good diet and exercise. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Dr. Linda Hout-Cooper, a nutritional science professor and associate director for the Arizona Cooperative Extension. Dr. Hout-Cooper, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Bill.
Tell me about the mission and the activities of the President's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition.
The President's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition's mission is really the three E's, to engage, educate, and empower Americans across all lifespans to really get enthusiastic about adopting a healthy lifestyle that includes both regular physical activity and good nutrition.
So is this a new role, putting nutrition experts on the science board of PCFSN?
Yes. As of June of last year, when Michelle Obama and President Obama started looking at some of the health issues in America, one of the things that became very clear, if we're really going to advance health and promote a strong nation and have a good economic policy in this country, clearly regular physical activity and good nutrition practices, good healthy eating practices, have been demonstrated to have a major impact on improving health and preventing chronic disease. And this council, the President's Council, has actually been in existence for quite some time, but the new development was adding nutrition to the equation last year. And that was done in June. And after that pronouncement was made by the President, the council then went out to seek people who could serve on this board. So I was nominated, along with other nutrition professionals across the country, by the American Dietetics Association to serve on this board. And I, plus three other nutrition experts around the country, were selected to join the science board.
Well, it's no secret that Americans are getting fatter. That's the bottom line, isn't it? We do have an obesity epidemic in America, and the dietary guidelines for Americans to help people make healthier food choices and help reverse this obesity epidemic have been published now by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Health and Human Services. Give us an overview of what some of those guidelines are saying.
The dietary guidelines for Americans in 2010 really are focusing on promoting balancing your calorie intake in order to achieve a healthy weight when you combine it with your physical activity level. So really balancing energy intake and energy expenditure to maintain a healthy weight is one of the major focuses of the dietary guidelines. And the other major focus is really encouraging people to focus on consuming what we call nutrient-dense foods and beverages. In other words, focusing our efforts on choosing foods that contain lots of vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals, which we know are important for health, and consuming fewer foods that contain primarily only calories. So, for example, a healthy eating pattern really should focus on increasing more fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and if you choose milk and milk beverages, focus on choosing fat-free or low-fat products. And also, another major emphasis of the dietary guidelines is encouraging people to really moderate their consumption of sodium and focus on drinking plenty of fluids, particularly water. And I think that's very critical to us, Bill, out here in the Southwest when we're heading into our hot summer weather, and maintaining plenty of body water is really important to good health.
How about eating a good breakfast in the morning?
Yes, and that's it. I'm glad you brought that up. There's been some very interesting research that's been done, and one of the things that they demonstrated in their research is that people who have been successful at losing weight and keeping it off for extended period of times, one of the things they regularly do is eat breakfast.
Well, that's good. And what should we eat for breakfast?
Well, thinking back to what our goals are, we want to increase our fruit and vegetable intake and our whole grain intake and low-fat milk and milk products, and also focusing on rich protein sources that are lean protein sources, whether it's meat or poultry or seafood. And eggs fit into this pattern also, as well as dried beans and peas and nuts and seeds. So one example for a great breakfast would be to start out with a slice of whole grain bread or a whole wheat tortilla, and have a glass of orange juice and maybe a fresh sliced banana or any kind of seasonal fruit that's available.
How did you get interested in nutrition?
I got interested in nutrition many years ago as a teacher in junior high school and high school. I worked as a nutrition education specialist within a school district, teaching food and nutrition classes to young girls and boys in the state of Minnesota. And I got interested in nutrition because I thought it just made sense in terms of food is fun. It's fun to cook. It's fun to prepare food. Food's a great way to bring people together, and I just found it an interesting and fascinating topic because it really is a study of physiology, biochemistry, and culture. How do we bring the actual chemical components that we get in our food, bring that into our body, and basically absorb it, digest it, and then use it as the fuel to make our bodies healthy and fit?
Linda Hout-Cooper is with us. Dr. Hout-Cooper is a nutritional science professor, and she is associate director for the Arizona Cooperative Extension, and she has been appointed to the Science Board of the President's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition. So it's good, of course, to have a great diet, but if you don't exercise, you're only getting 50% of the way there. Is that correct?
You're right on target, Bill. In fact, the recommendation is for just for general overall health, if people aim to have a minimum, as adults, a minimum of about 30 minutes a day on average of fairly vigorous physical activity, do things that you enjoy, whether it's brisk walking, riding a bicycle, swimming, playing tennis, working in your garden, or horseback riding. For children, the recommendation is that they should be doing a minimum of 60 minutes of fairly vigorous physical activity a day. And then clearly doing more physical activity and doing different types of physical activity can enhance different aspects of your fitness.
There is a trend. It's the fast food restaurants seem they're either posting, in some cases, the calories involved, but there's more to it than the calories, isn't there?
Well, one of the calories are important. However, one of the things that we think is really vital for people to consider is what are the vitamins and minerals that you're getting in your food? And also, we know that there are substances in food called phytochemicals, and one example is lycopene. And it is a phytochemical that exists in fruits and vegetables that seems to have a major effect on preventing inflammation in the body and really contributes to the prevention of certain types of cancers and any kind of inflammatory process in the body, including asthma, and even plays a role in diabetes.
Tell me, what role should the government play in telling people about their diet and exercise? Some believe that really government has no role in that area. Where do you come down? Obviously, you must feel they have a role.
Well, I think the government has a role from an education perspective to provide people with what we know as research-based or evidence-based information about what people can do to live a healthy, vital, really satisfying life. And we know very clearly that what you choose to eat and how you and your physical activity levels have a very definite effect on your risk of developing certain types of diseases. And if we can encourage people to do the things that we know that are going to keep them from developing these diseases, it really contributes to a much stronger economy in this country and a much stronger nation. So I think from the government's perspective, being able to be a source of credible, research-based information is something that's really good for the nation.
I know the last major study that you were involved in focused on bone health in postmenopausal women. Tell us a little bit about that.
Bill, I was involved with a group of people here at the University of Arizona in looking at the effects of resistance exercise, in other words, weight training, on bone health in postmenopausal women. In our study, we recruited a little over 300 women who had been very sedentary, and we recruited them into our study, and they got randomly put into a group that was involved in doing regular resistance exercise 3 days a week, working out with our trainers in community fitness facilities, and the other half of the women just continued with their sedentary lifestyle that they had chosen. And what we found after the first year, postmenopausal women who typically are in a phase of their life when they're actually losing about 1 to 2% of their bone mineral density a year on average, what we found in our study is the women who participated in the exercise program actually were able to prevent that loss of bone mineral density and on average actually had a slight increase in their bone mineral density compared to the women who stayed with their sedentary lifestyle actually did what we knew from science was going to happen, that they, on average, lost a small amount of their bone mineral density. And this is important because maintaining strong, healthy bones is really critical for preventing osteoporosis, which is a chronic progressive disease in which you lose the protein structure in your bone and you lose the mineral content in your bone, and it makes your bones much more fragile and likely to fracture.
Linda Hout-Cooper, thank you very much. Congratulations on your appointment to the Science Board of the President's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition. We'll talk to you again. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. And good nutrition and active lifestyle to people.
Thank you very much. Coming up on 46 minutes past the hour, Representative Steve Farley talks about the legislative session, which ended at 5:30 this morning. That's next.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinker Verde at the southwest corner of Tinker Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson community. Our thrift shop donations and sales provide more than half of needed funding, which goes to programs like Operation School Bell. Since its inception, Operation School Bell has provided clothing and school supplies for more than 38,000 children. But we need your help. Donate an item or a financial gift. Shop our thrift store or volunteer. For more information on how you can make a difference, visit AssistanceLeagueTucson.org.
It's 49 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Well, lawmakers wrapped up the 2011 legislative session at about 5:30 this morning. State Representative Steve Farley, one of the leaders of the Democratic Party up in Phoenix, joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. State Representative Farley operating on about 90 minutes of sleep after that very short evening. Or long evening, I guess it should be. Hey, how you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to get up to talk to my constituents in Tucson, because it's pretty ugly up here.
Let's start at the beginning of that long night. What was done and what survived?
There was a lot that was done, and not much of it was good. They basically cleared through their entire backlog of bills, many of which were going to be dying until they realized they were going to sign to die last night and end the session. So stuff got brought back forward. I mean, one little example of that one was there was a Kavanaugh amendment to kill the 9/11 memorial again, resurrect that controversy that no one had talked about except him, that looked like it was headed towards not even getting a third read in the Senate. They third read in the Senate about 1:30 a.m., and it came over about 3:15. It passed the House and would substitute the opinions of 59 Republican representatives and senators for the hundreds of meetings of the public over the course of years that actually created the memorial in the first place. That's just one little thing going on, but there were so many tough things happening. I do want to let listeners know, particularly those people in the university area, that I was successful in stopping a really bad thing. So we have to celebrate our little victories. There was an amendment that Ron Gould had put on in the Senate to another bill that would have gotten rid of any zoning laws within 2 miles of a university.
Really?
Meaning that mini dorms would be able to run free and rampant in any neighborhood they wanted to, as long as it was within two miles of the university. It also said the same thing within 2 miles of any military base, so it would have endangered Davis-Monthan, because that would have put residential in the paddle of takeoffs and landings that is supposed to be protected in order to protect the base. In the conference committee I was on, I was able to convince Republicans to have an amendment to eliminate the Gould Amendment, and it passed, so we don't have to at least live in danger of that happening. But there's a whole lot of other dangerous stuff that did happen.
Yeah, there are a lot of unhappy people around the university community concerning this university medical center thing, preventing the Board of Regents from altering the board or controlling operations of UA healthcare for the next 18 months. I assume that passed.
Yeah, I've been working on that since last Thursday when that first came up. Where, for listeners who are unaware of it, there were some dissident board members and a dissident board chair who decided they did not like the direction the Regents was going in, even though the majority of the board was going in that direction with the Regents. So they approached some of their friends in the Senate, Andy Biggs and Russell Pierce, and they took hold of the bill for their own purposes and decided they were trying to not only wrest the control of UMC out of the hands of the Regents, they wanted to give it to an unelected, non-accountable, self-perpetuating board, which would amount to a gift of about $4 to $5 billion in public assets, and no accountability whatsoever, and would put at risk all of the incredible staff of doctors and researchers that we've assembled in this treasure of our community. I had Dr. Peter Reese sent me a statement saying that he was considering leaving because of this bill. So we were able to, again, in conference committee, make this simply an 18-month cooling off period, but even during those 18 months, ABOR is not allowed to govern UMC. The problem there is that I hope that is enough to keep Dr. Reed and Dr. LaMole, both of whom expressed serious concern about this move by Biggs and Pierce. I hope it's enough to keep them here at UMC and keep this the world-class institution, teaching institution we need to be. It did pass that compromise. So it's not quite as bad as the original Biggs-Pierce version, but it still is problematic, and I know the Regents are talking to the governor about a possible veto.
Yeah, this could be really, really big as far as the existing staff and recruiting new people. I didn't hear about the bill, whether or not that bill that would cap the hiring by cities. Did that pass in the end, SB
1322?
Yeah.
Yeah, that did pass. The idea of that bill was to fire every employee that is doing a job that's worth more collectively more than $75,000 and then replace it with a private company through an RFP process. Basically privatize every city service to the low bidder, which could mean shipping things out to India in some cases. That the amount was changed from $75,000 to $500,000 in the final amount that you would have to privatize anything but just Phoenix and Tucson specifically would do that's worth more than $500,000. That's on the governor's desk, and she has not decided what to do with it yet. I know there are a lot of people pushing her for a veto on that one. I'm hoping that she will do that. She actually vetoed the birther bill, as you know. She vetoed the guns on campus bill. So there is some hope that the governor can be our last bastion of sanity, strange as that may seem to some of us.
Democrat Steve Farley, representing Tucson's District 29, is with us, and he's a leader.
Actually, it's District 28.
Excuse me. And we had your seat made in the legislature. Bruce Wheeler was on our Friday Focus last week. So it, of
course, good, and he had a little more sleep at the time, I'm sure.
Well, that was a late session, too, so I think he said he might have had a couple of hours. So maybe he's got a few minutes on you. Immigration, this is the first time in several years that no major immigration measures passed, not for the lack of trying by Senate President Russell Pierce.
That's for sure. But the thing is, there was a lot more trying on behalf of the business community, and some of the Republicans actually listened to the business community this time and had the guts to stand up against their far-right wing and say, you know, enough is enough. These sort of feel-good, do-nothing immigration bills that just hurt Arizona and don't do anything to crack down on the real problem of criminal gangs at the border, these things are not what I'm going to vote for anymore. So we had enough of them, seven senators, Republican senators in particular, who were gutsy enough to vote against every one of those bad immigration bills that had come to the floor, in large part because the business community said, this is really important to us now, and we're going to go up, put ourselves on the line. What was interesting was that Glenn Hammer, who was executive director of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, representing the largest businesses in Arizona, was basically humiliated in front of Senator Ron Gould's committee when he came to testify against immigration, just totally drawn and quartered by the chair there. And that was disappointing to see that citizens of any kind, whether they represent big business or an individual citizen, should be treated with respect to the Capitol, and that certainly wasn't happening. But in the end, the chamber got the senators, their seven Republican senators, to do the right thing.
Well, I want to mention here that lawmakers may be back in session before January. There's a huge if, is that correct, in this budget that could leave a $500 million hole in the budget, and we're talking about health care here.
There's a whole lot of ifs in the budget. It's not just health care, because there's a lot of things that are open to lawsuits. I mean, aside from the whens, like the when will our class sizes go up in our classrooms because the governor cut $500 million more from our schools in the next year after promising she would protect education. The ifs are the health care cuts, where she cut about 160,000 single childless adults off of access. These are people in poverty who the voters approved and asked in Prop 204 that they should be covered because they are in poverty. So any changes to that is a violation of the Voter Protection Act. And I know that there are people already lined up to sue, and I believe those suits will be filed very soon, and hopefully the judge will grant injunctive relief. If that's the case, there will be about another $500 million hole to fill. So I have absolute faith that we will be coming back here at some point in the next few months to try to fix that problem. The budget that the Star proclaimed was balanced had no balance anywhere near it. That and the other tricks and the way that they pushed the money onto the cities and the counties, which we will all be suffering for and which will amount to probably increased taxes for us at the city and county level because of what the Republicans and the legislature did. All those things are gimmicks. The budget wasn't really balanced, and we're going to pay for that by coming back in special session, and I'm expecting this majority to cut education even further.
Steve Farley, thank you very much. We'll look for the Farley Report. Comes out weekly, and we'll look for you down the road on the Buckmaster Show. Get some sleep.
I'm going to try to. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you very much. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show after we tell you that we are thankful for the support of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, Flowers & Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Check out our website, buckmastershow.com, for an important announcement. Have a great day.